Finally, it was the turn of George Kennan, veteran diplomat and ambassador, the father of America's post-war containment policy against the Soviet Union, and a longtime friend and colleague of Oppenheimer's at the Institute for Advanced Studies. No man had stimulated Kennan's thinking about the myriad dangers of the nuclear age more than Oppenheimer. No man had been a better friend, defending his work and providing him a refuge at the Institute when Kennan's dissenting views on America's militarized Cold War policies made him a pariah in Washington. "On no one," Kennan said, "did there ever rest with greater cruelty the dilemmas evoked by the recent conquest by human beings of a power over nature out of all proportion to their moral strength. No one ever saw more clearly the dangers arising for humanity from this mounting disparity. This anxiety never shook his faith in the value of the search for truth in all its forms, scientific and humane. But there was no one who more passionately desired to be useful in averting the catastrophes to which the development of the weapons of mass destruction threatened to lead. It was the interests of mankind that he had in mind here. But it was as an American, and through the medium of this national community to which he belonged, that he saw his greatest possibilities for pursuing these aspirations. In the dark days of the early 50s, when troubles crowded in upon him from many sides, and when he found himself harassed by his position at the center of controversy, I drew his attention to the fact that he would be welcome in 100 academic centers abroad, and asked him whether he had not thought of taking residence outside this country. His answer, given to me with tears in his eyes, "Damn it, I happen to love this country." Robert Oppenheimer was an enigma, a theoretical physicist who displayed the charismatic qualities of a great leader, an aesthete who cultivated ambiguities. In the decades after his death, his life became shrouded in controversy, myth, and mystery. For scientists like Dr. Hideki Yukawa, Japan's first Nobelist, Oppenheimer was a symbol of the tragedy of the modern nuclear scientist. To liberals, he became the most prominent martyr of the McCarthyite witch hunt, a symbol of the right wing's unprincipled animus. To his political enemies, he was a closet communist and a proven liar. He was, in fact, an immensely human figure, as talented as he was complex, at once brilliant and naive, a passionate advocate for social justice and a tireless government advisor whose commitment to harnessing a runaway nuclear arms race earned him powerful bureaucratic enemies. As his friend Robbie said, in addition to being very wise, he was very foolish. The physicist Freeman Dyson saw deep and poignant contradictions in Robert Oppenheimer. He had dedicated his life to science and rational thought. And yet, as Dyson observed, Oppenheimer's decision to participate in the creation of a genocidal weapon was a Faustian bargain if there ever was one. And of course, we are still living with it. And like Faust, Robert Oppenheimer tried to renegotiate the bargain and was cut down for doing so. He had led the effort to unleash the power of the atom, but when he sought to warn his countrymen of its dangers, to constrain America's reliance on nuclear weapons, the government questioned his loyalty and put him on trial. His friends compared this public humiliation to the 1633 trial of another scientist, Galileo Galilei, by a medieval-minded church. Others saw the ugly specter of anti-Semitism in the event and recalled the ordeal of Captain Alfred Dreyfus in France in the 1890s. But neither comparison helps us to understand Robert Oppenheimer, the man, his accomplishments as a scientist, and the unique role he played as an architect of the nuclear era. This is the story of his life.